Let me be honest to start with. This reminds me a little bit about a nightmare I had when I was in eighth grade. So, I was tasked with sharing something that I believe is really an intimate part of God's heart, and I'm going to share about it really pretty quickly. And if you know much about intimacy, and all of you do to some degree or another, you know that intimate things don't come easily quickly. And so I'm going to kind of rapid fire fast forward some things that I think are an intimate expression of God's heart. And I want to encourage you just to take them and ponder them in your own heart in the days and weeks to come. But I want to start with this question. So Michelle pointed out the elephant in the room, and I am the elephant in the room. How do things feel different in the room with a man here now? How do you feel different in the room listening to a man? How do you feel different now that there's a man standing up here looking out at you, listening to the speaker? And I know there are probably lots of different responses to that, but one of the things I want us to just take at face value is that we recognize on some basic level that gender matters. This male-female thing that Stephanie talked about earlier is not just a secondary part of who we are. It's really a fundamental, foundational, central part of what it means to be a relational being. In the beginning, God created human beings in his image, male and female. Another way of saying that is that our bodies, as men and as women, are not just biological. They're also theological. It means they're meant to teach us something about what God is like. They're meant to convey something to us about God's heart. They're meant to, in some way, male and female, whisper to us about God's love. And as we live according to his design, there's something conveyed kind of in the fragrance of the air about who he is and how he feels about us. And this is good news. So let's talk for a minute about God's design for love and marriage and sex. I said it was going to be intimate, didn't I? So here's the classic boy meets girl story. The man sees the woman, and he notices something in her that is special, that's unique to him, that's different, that sets her apart from every other woman. And he decides, this is the one I love. And so he woos her and seeks to draw her to himself. And she gets to know him, and she grows in her love for him too. And the two then go to be married. And they stand before God and an audience, and they declare their love for each other, and they commit themselves one to another. They give themselves to each other, and they make vows that no matter what, they're going to be faithful one to another for the rest of their lives. And then when they move to their marriage bed, with what's sometimes called the marital embrace, that nakedness between husband and wife is meant to be a physical expression of the vows that they've made. It's a physical expression of saying, this is me given to you. All that I am given to you. This is my body given for you. And in a very intimate way, the man, not in a self-seeking, just out for himself kind of way, but he moves towards his wife in love. He reaches out to her. And if she trusts him, if she's grown to trust him, she literally opens her heart, opens her body to receive him. And he comes close to her and he pours forth his life by God's design. He pours forth his life into his bride. And if all goes well, that life unites with her life, something in her life that's unique in her. And new life is created. A little baby begins in the mother's womb. And that mother nurtures that baby. I've got five kids at home. I've watched my wife do this. And it's a giving of herself. Talk about bearing God's image. There's a way you guys have the capacity to bear God's image in your bodies that men never will. To carry and love a life in your bodies, to give your body for the life of another in that way, is beautiful. It's incredible. So she bears that life, and that life grows and grows and grows, and then is born into the world, a new life. And what happens when that baby's born? The husband and wife look at the baby, and all the relatives look at the baby, and they start doing what? They start looking and seeing, oh, he's got your eyes. Oh, she's got your hair. Oh, she's got your fingers. Oh, he's got your nose. Too bad, you got your father's looks. But in other words, they're saying, this little creature is in your image. So What does this teach us? What does this express to us about God, about his love for us? What is he whispering to us through this design? Well, one piece of it, we can just begin with the very obvious question in the room. Why did God link, have you ever thought about this? Why did God link the incredible pleasure of sex with procreation? That was his choice. He had a choice. He could have chosen to bring about new life, new babies, any way he wanted. It could have been storks. Some of you were told that. It really could have been. But he didn't. He chose sex. He chose the marriage bed of husband and wife. Why did he do that? Well, I would propose to you that one reason is because in that safe and sacred covenant of marriage, that blissful experience is meant to convey it wasn't a duty that God created you. It wasn't like, oh, I need more. All right. But he actually delighted in it. He delighted in it. That there was nothing in him that wanted to wait. He wanted you. He's been looking forward to your creation. And it's a blissful, glorious experience the moment that you were made. I wonder if more of us could walk around really taking that truth into ourselves, what a different world this would be. What a different world it would be. What else do you hear in there? For those of you who have grown up in the church or are familiar with what Scripture teaches, Christianity talks about this in the language of salvation. So Jesus left his father. He saw this beauty far away. She didn't even recognize herself as a beauty. He saw her, and he left his father's home, and he traveled far to be with her, to express his love for her. She didn't recognize it, but he came and he kept loving and kept reaching out to her to win her favor, to win her trust. And she didn't see it. And eventually, he was stripped naked, exposed on a cross. And what did he do on the cross? He poured out, like a bridegroom, poured out his life and his love for his bride. And we now have the opportunity to respond. Do we trust this bridegroom or do we not? If we trust him, we choose in a very real way to open ourselves, to open our hearts to him, to say yes to his life. And we receive his life and his love into us. And what does that do? That creates new life in us. And that life is meant to grow and grow and produce more life and produce more life unto eternity. This is a part of how God has written his story, written something about who he is in the fabric of who we are. This is a part of being created in God's image. Now, there's also something you should know. The number one analogy, the number one metaphor used throughout Scripture to describe God's relationship with his people is that of a bridegroom and a bride. And one of the most frequently used expressions in Scripture, metaphors in Scripture, to describe what it's like when his people are unfaithful to him, most used metaphor is adultery. And so something of God's heart is saying, look, this is how I love you. My love for you is like this. And when you disobey me, when you choose to go your own way, when you choose not to follow what I have for you, not to receive my gift, but to go after other lovers, that's what it feels like. It feels like adultery to me. You've chosen someone else over me. But listen to the heart of our bridegroom, because he doesn't stop there. His response isn't, write a certificate of divorce, send her away. His response right then and there is the cross. We close ourselves off to him and we say yes to other lovers. And what does he do? He opens himself up. He lets us strip him naked on the cross. And he pours out his life for us, that we could be restored to him. The cross, some Christian mystics have compared the cross to the marriage bed for this very reason. And the question before us, all of us, and I know in a room this size, and I certainly know in my life, I have not done this sexuality thing right. I have not done this love thing right. I've certainly not done this Christian thing right. And our bridegroom's response is, this is my body given for you. This is my body broken for you. He's a good bridegroom who wants us to get a good glimpse, a whiff, a scent a whisper of his great love for us, his bride. Thanks for letting me share.